Good morning. Welcome to our service. One quick announcement, we are going to have a Good Friday service. We'll put out a video for that next week, and then we'll be recording our Easter Sunday. So it won't quite be the same, but nevertheless, we will get to stand and I'll get to be shepherds. We'll get to put out a video and talk to our sheep through a video. So We're gonna keep doing the best we can do. So this morning's reading is from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their cloths on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their cloths, their clothes, on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you sent your Son. Lord, that you are true to your word, that as the prophets promised, a Messiah would come. And that Messiah was Jesus, who paid the price that we couldn't pay so that we can have a relationship with you. Lord, may we use this unusual time that we're in, where we have a lot of downtime. We have an opportunity to be still before you, God. May we take every advantage of that. May we draw near to you. May we learn from you. May we learn from your word. May we truly understand what we're missing by not being able to fellowship face to face with one another, so that when this is over, Lord God, we can go out and we can really, really embrace one another, Lord Jesus, and we can really disciple one another and build one another up and encourage and strengthen one another. Lord, I just pray for Pastor Stan right now as he comes up, that you would speak through him. Lord God, that we may hear your words. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne, to do communion, to break bread, to do as you commanded. We just ask your blessing upon this service. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Again, it's such a joy to be with you through this medium that we have available to us this morning. This last week was somewhat difficult for me, but on particularly Wednesday, I was in my office and I was all alone in the church. And as I was thinking about what's happening in the world today and all of the stuff that's taking place, I was downtrodden. I was disheartened. I was somewhat depressed. And as I was contemplating what we all are experiencing right now, I was in a state of mourning. I was mourning not being able to be normal, because all of us are not normal right now. We're abnormal. And I was mourning the reality of being in quarantine, being isolated from you especially, because as a shepherd, my heart wants to be with you. I want to meet with you. I want to share with you. I want to pray with you, and I want to preach and teach the Word of God to you. I'm thankful I can do it through this particular medium, but there's nothing like being face to face with you, being able to touch one another and encourage one another in the body of Christ. I was also mourning the reality of not being able to go out and visit those in need, those who are seniors, who are somewhat restricted because of mobility, and also those who may be hospitalized. And this last week, we had a member of our church by the name of Paul Holkoff, and he went through surgery, and usually I like to go out and pray before surgery. I like to be there with the family to encourage them, to strengthen them. And I wasn't able to do that because of the restrictions placed upon me and everyone else who cannot enter the hospital. Then I was contemplating businesses in our community. So many have closed their doors and others are struggling because the business has dropped drastically. And I realized that many of them are probably going to suffer because of that. And it depressed my heart. And then I think also of sports. Now I know for some of you sports don't matter, but for me in my life, sports is a big thing for me. Especially the home teams of our state, when I think of Minnesota Twins and Minnesota Vikings. It's hard not to be able to watch these sporting events and to participate in them. March is always known as the basketball month, as March Madness, and they shut that down. And that obviously was a tough time for many of you out there, not just myself. And so I was in a state of mourning, and then God spoke to me. You might ask, did he speak to me audibly? No, he spoke to me through his word. Because in the state of mourning, there's a book in the Bible called Lamentations. It was written by the prophet Jeremiah. You might ask, well, what was he mourning? It's a difficult book to read because when you begin reading through it, you'll see that he was mourning the devastation of the city of Jerusalem. And when I say devastation, you can't believe what happened to that particular city. Because when you go back and read the history books, you'll understand that the Babylonians put on they besieged this city. They surrounded it and they closed off all the avenues to get food for the people who were inside the walls of that city. And they were eventually able to make their way into the city. And they slaughtered so many individuals, women, children, and men. And before they entered the city, there was starvation taking place in the city because they did not have enough food for everyone. And cannibalism was actually taking place in the city of Jerusalem. And before they left that city, they devastated it completely. There wasn't one stone piled on another stone or stacked on another stone. They burned the city, houses, temple, and left it in ruins. And Jeremiah was lamenting that because his heart was broken over what he had witnessed and what he had seen. And so God spoke to me and said, look, Stan, what you're going through is nothing compared to what they experienced. And I was reminded of that. It seems like in life sometimes we think we go through the worst problems and we're experiencing difficulty. But when you look around, you realize that other people sometimes have it worse than you. And this was true in my life. God rebuked me, first of all, and said, Stan, come on. What are you suffering? What are you going through? It pales in comparison to what the Jews went through as their holy city, Jerusalem, was devastated. Not only did he rebuke me, but he reminded me of all the blessings I have. Blessings of my health. I was on a cruise a few weeks ago, and we were warned before we entered into or got on the ship that possibly we could come down with this virus. But I'm so thankful that before they let anybody on the ship, they took the temperatures of everyone. They were extremely diligent in making sure that there wasn't one person who got on board that had the virus. And while we were on the ship, they were extremely sanitary. We had hand wipes constantly. We were washing our hands. In fact, they had this area where you could go and roll up your sleeves and stick your arms into these holes, and they would wash your hands automatically. I've never had that experience before. So they kept the ship clean. They were always wiping the rails and everything else where people would touch. And we were able to get off board, able to leave the ship, and I was so thankful for that. And then they told us that we had to self-quarantine for at least 2 weeks. And all during those 2 weeks, we were wondering, are we going to come up with the symptoms of that virus? And I'm so thankful that I didn't, and my wife didn't. None of us in the family have come into contact with that virus, and to God be the glory for that. And then God was reminding me of the blessings I have, not only my health, but my wife. I have a companion. Even though I'm isolated, I have someone to visit with, someone to spend time with. And I know that some of you may not have that. You may be extremely lonely right now. My wife and I have been able each evening to play some games with one another. And she's competitive, but not to the point where it gets to be a little scary. But she likes to win, just like I like to win. And we've been playing this game called Farco. Maybe some of you have played that game. And she usually had been beating me in this game, but last night was my night. I beat her at this card game called Golf, and I beat her twice at Farco. But what a joy it is to be able to have a companion to share life with in times like these. I have my health, I have my family, I have my wife, I have my daily food. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to get my next meal. God has blessed me with plenty of food. I have my house, I have my church, I have my community, and I have my country. There's so much to be thankful for during this time that we're all suffering through. And I just want to encourage you and remind you that God's word says to us in the book of Lamentations something about our God and who he is and what he is doing through all of this. In the back of my mind, I've had this thought, what is God going to do through this particular time in our lives? Well, my understanding is that God has made us be silent and made us be still and has made us be somewhat separate. So we have a lot of time to contemplate what our lives are all about. And what I have discovered in my life is that the things that are the most important to me, sometimes I ignore and neglect. But now God is reminding me of those simplicities in life that are so important to all of us. And I hope that's what you're realizing right now. Spending time with your family, spending time with your spouse is such a blessing and one that God gives us. And we want to thank him for that. He's also reminded me of his mercy, compassion, faithfulness, goodness, and salvation. And I want to read from the book of Lamentations because even though this book is difficult to read, there's some verses in here that just break through for all of us and remind us of how good and gracious and merciful our God is. Though the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, a hymn that most of us have learned from the time that we were small. I was raised in a church, and this is one that I used to sing before I even had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just want to read some of these stanzas for you from this hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that a wonderful hymn to be singing at a moment in time like this? That we can look to our God and he is a faithful God and he will see us through it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And we realize now that though we're not suffering like so many people around the world, or even who have suffered so great in history, Lord, our lives have been altered. They have been changed. And we do pray, first of all, for all of those who are going through this particular time, Lord, where they're suffering from this virus. We pray that you'll heal them, that you'll raise them up, that you'll see them through it, that you remind them that at this time, Lord, you're speaking to them. I pray spiritually that if they don't know you, they'll call upon you in their time of need. Lord, we realize that this has come upon us to show us once again that without you, life can be hopeless, but with you, we have hope. So, Lord, we look to you, and we ask that you will guide the president. We ask that you will enable each scientist and doctor to be able to come up with a cure. And, Lord, we pray for our nation, even though it's divided politically. Father, we pray that you will unite us once again, and we'll look to you and call upon you, realizing again that you are our hope. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is Palm Sunday, and it's a Sunday where we observe the Lord making his entrance into Jerusalem triumphantly. And I want to share a message with you concerning Palm Sunday. And it has a little bit of a twist on it. You remember last Sunday I talked about a sheep and how we are like sheep, how we are like shepherds, and how our Savior was also like a shepherd and like a sheep. And we discover that we need the great shepherd because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the very first phrase is, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to lie down. I don't want to lay down. I struggle with that. And maybe you're again struggling with that. So I just want to encourage you right now as I begin my message and as we celebrate the Lord's entrance into Jerusalem, that you will have a sense of victory. You'll have a sense that God is going to help us through this time and will come out triumphantly. And I want to talk about a donkey. You might ask, why a donkey? Well, a donkey is someone that's very popular in the scriptures. And he's also referred to as a beast of burden. And that's the title of my message, a beast of burden carrying our burden carrier. And that's a little twist I put on it. And the definition of a beast of burden is an animal such as a donkey, mule, camel, elephant, ox, any animal that is used to carry a heavy load or perform other heavy work. Now, I want to share with you the characteristics of a donkey or a burro. That's another name for a donkey. Or there's another word in the King James, and I won't say that word, but you can figure out what that word is. Well, the characteristics of a donkey are they are extremely cautious, which sometimes makes them seem stubborn. And the reason why sometimes you can't move a donkey is because they know there might be danger standing in the way. And that's why they're hesitating. They tend to be calm and not easily startled, like a horse. They're highly intelligent and have a great memory. They're also very strong for their size. In fact, a donkey can carry twice its weight almost, if you think about that. And they can carry heavy, heavy loads. And so we see God riding, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And for thousands of years, donkeys have been helping. They're called the helping hooves of humankind. And they are referred to, again, as beasts of burden. Interesting thing about donkeys, when you do search the scriptures, that a donkey actually talked to Balaam. And in Numbers chapter 22, and I don't have time to go into that message this morning on Balaam and his talking donkey, but read it for yourself. It's a great story. The only other animal in the scriptures that talked is the serpent. And he talked to Eve in the Garden of Eden. So I'm going to ask a question and see if we can answer here biblically this morning. Why did Jesus come riding on a beast of burden, a donkey, into Jerusalem? Well, first reason that I have found, and Brian was reading it, is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. We'll see in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that it was prophesied about our Messiah coming on a donkey. I'm going to begin reading again with verse 1 of chapter 21 of Matthew. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. What we see is the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is in control of every detail of his entrance into this city. And it says in verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and the prophet is Zechariah, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. An amazing thing that our king would allow himself to enter into a city on a colt, on a foal, and on a donkey. Very small animal, very humble animal. And as we see Jesus fulfilling the messianic prophecy, the religious leaders should have understood this. Because especially the Pharisees knew the word of God. They knew this prophecy. And yet, they were standing in opposition to their Messiah coming into their city. God fulfills his word. There's other prophecies concerning Jesus coming as the sacrificial lamb, coming to redeem us from our sin. And I'm so thankful that God had prepared the way for our Savior to come. And on Palm Sunday, we see a victorious celebration. Because as Jesus was entering into the city on a donkey, he's proclaiming that he is our Messiah. He is the one that we have been waiting for. And he's come to save us from our sin. He fulfilled prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. And then as we continue on in this passage, as Jesus makes his entrance into Jerusalem, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. This is showing servitude. It's showing humility. You recognize it again as they were taking their cloaks and their clothes off, their outer garments, and placing them on the donkey, that they're saying, this is our king. This is the one that we have been waiting for. And they're showing their submission again to the Messiah. Verse 8, we read, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Again, giving him a king's welcome into the city. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy and fulfilled so many others by entering into the city of Jerusalem. His hour had come. The second reason why did he come on a donkey was to reveal that he is a humble king. There's no king like our king. Kings would usually enter a city on a horse, an animal that was high, an animal that was so extremely beautiful. But our king came humbly, riding on a foal, and coming on a donkey, which was extremely humbling. And I want to share with you a context here that I think fits this when we think of our king coming to us, and that is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. For it reads like this, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in appearance as man, and being found as a man, he humbled himself, even to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Can you imagine that? We have a humble Savior. He was willing to come identify with us. His humility continued as he went to the cross and suffered and died for us and took our pain, took our sin upon himself. He revealed to us that he truly is a humble king. And I want you, all of us, to understand that right now during this time that we are all being humbled, I believe. You might ask, why do we need to be humbled? Well, it's my understanding that many times we don't think we need God. But when we find ourselves in a predicament like what we're in right now, It's not easy. It's not easy when we think about what we're going through without God and without a Savior and without someone to help us through it. Again, I'm very thankful that God is with us and God is here with us right now as we're working our way through this situation that we're facing with the virus. To reveal that he's a humble king, and he is so humble, and I thank the Lord for that. May we humble ourselves before him and cry out to him during this time of illness. And then the third reason that I see is that to reveal us that he came to carry our burden of sin to the cross. You might say, how does a donkey show us that? Remember, a donkey was a beast of burden. He would carry heavy loads. He was designed to work. And Jesus came to lay down his life once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And so here we have a donkey carrying Jesus into Jerusalem, and Jesus went to Jerusalem because he's going to carry our sin to the cross. And we see that so clearly in the book of Isaiah. As again, this is a prophecy about our Savior coming and dying for us on the cross, giving his life for us. And I just want to point out some words here because it shows again that Jesus came to bear our burden. He came to bear our sin. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. I want to stop right there. Do you realize that when you look at a donkey, he's not the most beautiful creature on the face of this earth? He has usually a big head in comparison to the rest of his body. Extremely large ears. Donkeys aren't beautiful. They're not like a horse. You know, our Savior came as an ordinary human being. It says here, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Surely he has borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord has laid on him. Laid on him. The iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and made intercession for transgressors. Aren't you thankful that our Savior bore our sin, and he bore it to the cross? He died once for all. He paid the penalty that we could not pay. He took our place on the cross. And we're so thankful this morning that as we come into this celebration of Palm Sunday, that we have a king, a humble king on a colt who carried our sin and carried it far away. It reminds me of a hymn, and it's One Day, you remember that? Loving, remember, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. That's the Savior we have. He laid down his life for us. He carried our burden, our sin to the cross, and died for it. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he bore our sin in his own body, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. May God help us as we live for Christ and realize again what he has done for us. And then the final reason that I see why he came on a donkey is to establish peace for us with our Heavenly Father. Romans 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were alienated from God, but Jesus, our humble King, our King who was willing to identify with us, was able to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. And now we have this relationship with God through the Son. What a blessing it is to realize what Christ has done for us when he entered the city of Jerusalem. Why did Jesus arrive in Jerusalem on a donkey? It's because he fulfilled prophecy in Matthew. We read that. Second reason was to reveal that he was a humble king. He could have come on a horse, and one day he is going to come on a horse. In his second coming, it says he's going to come through, to come down to earth on a horse, and he's going to be a warrior, and he's going to defeat those who are in opposition to his people. We see again that he carried our sin to the cross. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. And then the last reason, to establish peace with the Father. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, this, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Our Savior came to save us. Now, I trust this morning that you understand what I've been sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's important for you to do that. Because without him, there is no salvation. And you may be wondering why all of this is taking place right now and why we're having services like this. I think God can use it in a very positive way in your life. I believe that God is showing you, if you don't know him, first of all, that you need to know him. You need to know this humble King, because he wants you to understand who he is. As we read in Matthew, at the end of the context, it said they were wondering, who is this? It is Christ the Lord, the Savior of the world. And he wants to be your Savior today. You say, how can I enter into that relationship? This is how you do it. First of all, you realize that you can't save yourself. You can't do anything to save yourself. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me. We need a Savior. And I hope that through this time of suffering, however you want to identify it, that you'll realize that you need Christ and that you'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came to Jerusalem to go to the cross. He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And the scriptures are very clear when it comes to salvation. It says in the book of Romans, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you do that today? Will you call upon the Lord? Will you ask him to save you if you don't know him? If you do know him as your Savior, then use this time to reflect on the scriptures. Just like me this last week, as I was struggling with some of my emotions and thoughts, and as I opened up the book of Lamentations and realized that there's a book of mourning, even though I was mourning, my spirit could be raised as I focused again on my Savior and realized what the Savior has given me, and as I realized what he's done for me. He's blessed us beyond measure. He's given us so much. We need to be thankful. And I want to do that right now. Can we thank the Lord for all that he has done for us and given to us? Father, we thank you again this morning as we have looked into your word, that there is encouragement. And Father, in these quiet moments and these still moments of our lives right now, as we are homebound and we are struggling with that at times, Lord, will you again speak to us through your word? We thank you that you've given us your word. And Lord, how we pray that we'll continue as we search the scriptures to find hope. And our relationship with you will continue to grow as we follow you and serve you through this difficult period of time. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you blessed us with. May we learn to count our blessings, and may we thank you each and every day for what you've done for us and for what you're going to do for us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I look forward to seeing you next week. Stay tuned. I'm back. Welcome. Didn't that week go by fast? We are going to celebrate communion, and got wrapped up in my message and forgot about that. We are going to come to the Lord's table, and God has commanded us to do this as his children. And to me, this is an encouraging time as we reflect again on what our Savior has done for us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after supper, he gave thanks, he blessed the bread, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" So if you're at home right now, if you want to get some juice or even water and some bread, it doesn't really matter. These are symbols of our fellowship with the Lord at his table. We're going to have communion right now. So let's just bow our heads again and thank the Lord that we can sup at his table with him this morning. Father, we're thankful again for all that you've done for us. We're thankful that our spirits can be lifted during a time like this. We're thankful that we can look to you for all of our needs, that you are a God who provides for us. And we're thankful that you've given us this time when we can remember you. Again, remember why you came to earth, why you spent time with the disciples, and why, Father, Jesus went to the cross. Because he laid down his life for us. We're so thankful that we can gather at his table again this morning. So bless our time together as we worship and fellowship the Lord with the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the life that we have in you today. We're thankful for your presence with us today. And we're thankful that we can remember all that you went through to deliver, to rescue, to save us from sin. We'll ever give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.